You're listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Nathan Zagura, Matt Wilhelm, wrapping things up here on this disappointing Monday, but the Browns still showing a lot of heart, a lot of fight, and the ability to compete with anyone, and an offense that has vastly exceeded expectations through the first three games of this season. About that, there is no question. Want to remind you that you can see every game. When we talk about watching the tape, watching the coaches' film, you can see all of that in resplendent HD, and all you got to do is go to and get the games on Game Rewind. Subscribe to Game Rewind on your computer, tablet, or mobile device. You can do that at clevelandbrowns.com, and you can watch Cleveland Browns games on demand in HD anywhere at any time, including the coaches' All-22 tape that really shows you how the plays are breaking down. It's time now for three questions with the three-time Super Bowl champion, Jerod Cherry, and we welcome Jerod in now. What's up, Jerod?
Hey, what's going on, Nathan? How are you guys doing today?
Good, brother.
I am doing all right. Jerod, coming out of this game, a game that the Browns should have won but ultimately were unable to seal the deal, what is your biggest concern right now about this team headed into the bye week?
For me, it's the defensive front and the understanding of what to do with your gap integrity from the inside and the outside, and more importantly, from the outside. There is no defense, and Matt can vouch for me in this regard, that calls for someone to run scot-free into the boundary of a defense and no one be there for him. So these guys aren't getting a memo that you have to set the edge and maintain containment. If you don't do that, you stand no chance to get a Pop Warner team, let alone an NFL football team.
And what do you think is to blame there, Jerod? I mean, is it coaching? Is it the players not taking to the system? What do you think it is?
I think it's overcoaching in the sense of, guys, you make this play, you can make this play, and guys getting hyped about that, excited about that. And then I put the greater fault to the players for not understanding that you cannot overcommit to anything in football. This is a game of smartness as well, not just physical effort and ability. So we're seeing guys get excellent effort. You can't fault Bartiz, Paul, or Jabbar for their effort. It's about just being attuned to what's taking place. And why is the team showing you that inside look? So obviously they can fool you on the outside. So the coaches obviously have to coach guys up and get them prepared for those looks. At the same time, being over-aggressive is a bad thing, too. So it's a combination.
And you talk about the combination, complementary football. You always talk about that. All three phases for the Browns were not there. But do you think this team has shown enough that they're at a different level than they were in years past, and now it's a matter of cleaning up the details, and that's ultimately the difference between winning and losing?
Yeah, that's a great way to describe it, Nathan, because if you're going to sit here and tell me if you think this team is the same team that you saw last season or years prior, yeah, the record may speak to that. But what I'm seeing on the football field does not speak to that. You don't take three quality football teams in the National Football League to last second defeats and a victory without being a better football team. And yeah, I see signs of all the things that are taking place with this football team. Nathan, can be cleaned up. And once cleaned up, when they keep that same level of effort and better execution, you got a winning team on your hands.
Jerod, I talked about it earlier with Jim Donovan. I said it feels like there's a missing link. And again, you being successful playing on some of the best football teams in NFL history, it's what's that missing link that allows so many great football teams to win those close games more than they lose them? And we feel like here in Cleveland, we always feel like we end up on the short end of the stick.
It's when your two and three guys aren't making mistakes and they're just as prepared as the one, and they're doing things to help the situation out. When you have a guy blowing a blocking assignment on a field goal, you just can't have that. It's paying attention to the little details and really everyone buying to the idea that I may be out here for four plays or I may be out here for 60 plays, but for that one play and every time I'm out here, I am going to be the best at what I am called to do. And once guys start doing that and reflecting that, because advancement has been made, because 3 weeks ago, I thought this team was 3-13 bound. I don't see that now. I've totally changed my opinion of the football team.
Good.
Yet, I still need to see more guys paying closer attention to detail and not doing unnecessary mistakes that could totally be eradicated and avoided.
Two guys in the secondary that have been getting a lot of talk today. Joe Haden, obviously, the number one cornerback on this team, had a rough play at the end of this game. And then Justin Gilbert. Your thoughts on those two, and where are you in terms of concern about Gilbert being able to be an effective contributor this season?
So I'll start with Joe, Nathan, and say that the rules changes have had adverse effect, I believe, on Joe's game. Because part of Joe's game is to be physical. It's a get handsy with guys and do things that veterans do down the field in certain aspects. As far as Gilden's concerned, right now you may want to take him out of the lineup and not give him too many plays, or you might want to be patient and work through it, but I think his confidence is waning because the guy I'm seeing right now is definitely not the one I saw on tape coming out of college, and I am concerned that he's not trusting his ability nor his technique. And when you got those two things going against you, you're in a trouble zone. Heck, you're in a danger zone.
And Gerard, and I'm sure we've both been on a part of it, is play like that for too long will get you beat, and having a guy like him on the field will lose you a football game, will it not?
Yeah, it will totally lose you a football game. It will set you up in a position to be in that place. One guy doesn't do it, but when you're playing cornerback, you can be that guy and be exposed. And Justin's going to have to tighten things up, but really it's going to be an issue of trusting that you were drafted eighth overall for a reason. Now, if there's a situation in place where there's some other guys on that team that are better than him right now, you got to put those guys out there, because one thing, too, is when you know you're not the best at what you're doing and you're struggling, that just compounds the problem.
And speaking of, you know, compounding the problem, I think one of the reasons that there has been so much pressure on the back end of this defense is the inability to stop the run up front, leaving the defense in a lot of 50-50 situations, some tough situations there. What do you see with this run defense, and how can that be cleaned up? Because I think until they get that cleaned up, the Browns are not going to make a lot of hay and be the kind of defense that everybody expected once Mike Pettine and company were brought on board.
Right. Because if you can't stop the run, forget about it. Because all you're asking for offensive coordinators to put you in a bind as a defensive coordinator, because you can be as what you please and what you want. And that's one of the problems here, is that do I have to honor this run fake if I'm a linebacker? Do I have to honor that? And you're in a world of confusion because you don't know what to do because you haven't taken anything away. But I will say this. It goes back to, again, everyone knowing how they fit and responsibilities of each other. It's not enough just to know what your position requires. You got to take the playbook home with you, even at this stage, because you're a new team. And that's one thing guys cannot escape from. Don't think because the regular season has started, you're still behind the majority of the National Football League in regards to repetition and amount of information and knowledge that they have of their particular defenses. Because when you look at our division alone, what do you see? Teams that have been running the same offenses and defenses for at least 4 to 5 years.
Gerard, I'm going to switch gears on you, and I'm going to jump over to something that's been very, very positive for this Cleveland Browns team, and that's the play of the offense and their leader, Brian Hoyer. Give us your take on Brian Hoyer, top to bottom, through three games and also to looking forward.
Yeah, so encouraged by Brian. I'm glad he's doing a great job of dismissing this notion that he's a career backup, that he's a clipboard holding guy who should have his hat on just whistling in plays or something like that. He's more than that, and he's proven that. And obviously, it's three games under his belt. But I think Brian has much more room to grow, and once he gets more of an understanding of this offense and is able to expand even more so, things, the sky's the limit for him. So I'm very impressed with what I've seen. Yeah, have there been moments where he's not perfect? But at some point, guys, if you've gone with 14 passes in a row, you're going to have a hiccup here and there, even if it is a 4-4 drive. One guy can't do it by himself, but you definitely cannot look at the quarterback position and say it's Brian Hoyer's fault, and he's not the guy to say it's not my fault, that this team is not doing anything as far as the win category is concerned.
No question. He's been brilliant. No turnovers since the game against Minnesota, his first start with the Browns. The Browns, the only team not to turn the ball over in the NFL. Gerard, final questions. We appreciate your time here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, is this. What is the one thing that is the most critical for this team to work on and improve, in your opinion, and take advantage of the 2 weeks that they have to do so over the bye?
Contain, run gap fits ad nauseum.
Do it till it makes you throw up.
It's really that simple, man. Get the basics of football down, because right now this team is on the defensive end and showing that they don't have that. And if they can get that, man, we might be 3-0 right now if they have that in the picture. But I'm encouraged because, I didn't think this team coming out of preseason would even do what they've done, and I've been impressed in that regard. But there's a long way to go, and we can't obviously accept losing, especially when you're beating yourself.
No question about it. Gerard, great stuff as always. Appreciate the time, and we'll catch up with you soon.
Thanks, bro.
Sounds good, guys. Take care.
Yeah, I mean, man, this is a team that, you know, obviously disappointed. I'd say that maybe these 2 hours have been somewhat therapeutic for me in the sense that I was very depressed.
A little more chipper now.
And I'm smiling a little bit more. But it does hurt. It was a game that the Browns let get away, but there really are a lot of reasons to be optimistic about this team going forward. Obviously, the schedule becomes more favorable, certainly in the next stretch, but it's still a team that's got to take care of business. What I like about it is this stretch will give them the opportunity with this bye week to clean up some of the things that caused them ultimately to lose this game to the Ravens. And then hopefully by getting some wins and stringing together some wins, they can get that confidence and that momentum and be that tipping point that turns this team from a team that has not been a winning team to a team that hopefully will be a winning team.
I agree, Nathan. And what's so funny to me is the fact that we're talking about a few plays and we're 3-0. But yet we can flip that and go, our defense has played so bad and there's so much wrong with what they're doing. But yet we're playing all that bad, but yet we're only a couple plays away from being 3-0. You know, so that gives me a significant amount of optimism. As Gerard has said, as we've talked over the past couple hours, it's like these coaches will, again, identify what their strong suits are, what and self-evaluate the defense. Like, how are we calling a game? What are guys, what defenses are guys succeeding in? Because that's a lot more of what we'll see. And then we can also dig in these next 2 weeks is you can literally – it's all going to be walkthrough. It's not going to be hitting. It's not like high school ball where the coach has got you out there in pads for 3 hours till we get it fixed. It's going to be slow and methodical, and we're going to spoon feed these guys these fixes, because if we fix them, and again, say we give up 100 yards on the ground as opposed to 150, you know, and we get a little, you know, sack a quarterback one more time again. Those are the types of plays that need to be made defensively that are did the difference between winning and losing in this league.
I mean, if you would have told me that the Browns were going to give up the second most yards per game in the NFL at about 420 and be giving up 25.7 points per game, eighth most in the league through the first 3 weeks, not only would I have said the Browns were going to be 0-3, I wouldn't have think there would have been a single game that came down to a last second field goal.
Right.
I would have thought that coming into this season, that's just how I perceive this team to be offensively and defensively. And if they had that many breakdowns, that just would have been good night, Irene, stick a fork in them, they're Dunsky. And yet, given that that's the case, it's almost like one of those games where, you know, you watch a basketball game and a team goes down at the half and they're only down 9 and yet they've shot 20% from the field and nobody's done anything in that. They're still in it. And that's how I feel about the Browns. And I do think Kevin Jones made a good point that if there was one side of the ball that I thought they would be able to get fixed more quickly and more easily, it would be the defense.
Yes.
So hopefully this bye comes at the right time. They can get that shored up and we can see some of these defensive performances we've been expecting along with this good offense. And all of a sudden, hey, we could go rip off a few in a row.
There's no doubt. There's no doubt in my mind. It's like you can say we're statistically that bad, but yet we're oh so close. And that is why we'll hang our hat on the optimism inside this building moving forward.
That's right. See, I feel so much better already. All right. Want to thank Solomon Wilcott, Jim Donovan from the PNC Bank, Cleveland Browns Radio Network, Kevin Jones, our staff writer at ClevelandBrowns.com. Check him out. Also, Jim and I will have a Cleveland Browns Today video breaking down this game as well on the Browns website. Stay tuned for the Golden Boys up next. Tomorrow we'll be back on CBD with our grades for week number 3 against the Baltimore Ravens, a new segment we are going to introduce. So look forward to that. For Matt Wilhelm, I'm Nathan Zagura. This has been Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.